You're listening to SBS News.
An elected Dutton coalition government will establish a special envoy for hostage affairs to provide greater support for Australians being held in arbitrary detention overseas. The need for a special envoy has been identified by the Australian Wrongful and Arbitrary Detention Alliance as a key strategy to provide a stronger focus on efforts to free Australians being detained by certain countries or in high-risk parts of the world in what is often referred to as hostage diplomacy. Shadow Foreign Affairs spokesman David Coleman said it was clear that more needed to be done in cases where Australians are detained overseas on spurious or false charges by foreign regimes. He's been talking about that and the rest of the coalition's foreign affairs policy to SBS chief political correspondent Anna Henderson.
David Coleman, thanks for joining SBS World News.
Good to be with you, Anna.
Are you confirmed as the incoming foreign minister if the coalition wins government? Is that your expectation?
Oh, yeah, but obviously all decisions about ministers are made by the Prime Minister of the day, and that would be the case for all roles.
You've made an announcement today about the hostage envoy role. Are there any circumstances in which the coalition would endorse money changing hands for the release of a hostage, and why is this broader policy so important?
Oh, look, the envoy position is really important because we want to do everything we can to support Australians in need. I mean, these are people in unimaginably difficult circumstances. The former hostages themselves have been calling for the special envoy role for some time, people like Kylie Moore-Gilbert and many others. And we think it's the right thing to do. It was recommended by a parliamentary inquiry. We're seeing this happening in the UK. We're seeing it happen in the US. We're seeing Canada look at it as well. It's the right thing to do. And we've got to elevate the focus on this issue and really leave no stone unturned in terms of helping out Australians in these most desperate of situations.
And on that question of the request of financial benefit, is there any circumstance where you would see money ever changing hands in exchange for a hostage?
Look, we're not proposing any changes to Australia's existing arrangements on that.
Just in relation to the world events that are unfolding as this election campaign also is unfolding, on Gaza, would the coalition consider increasing aid to those who've been displaced by the conflict?
Look, what we've said on aid is we absolutely want to continue with foreign aid to Gaza. The humanitarian situation in Gaza is a terrible thing, and it is awful to see the humanitarian impact of the conflict that was so brutally and savagely started by Hamas. What we've said is we wouldn't provide funding to UNRWA. This is an organisation where numerous people were fired on suspicion of being directly involved in the October 7 attacks. So we would not provide funding to UNRWA. We have a significant difference of opinion with the government on that. The government continues to provide funding to UNRWA, even though the people who were fired for involved appear to have not had any consequence other than losing their jobs, despite their apparent involvement in one of the worst acts of mass murder in history. So we wouldn't be providing funding to UNRWA, but we certainly would continue to provide funding to other humanitarian organisations that are helping people who really need it in Gaza.
And in relation to Ukraine, there is, of course, this plan for the coalition of the willing. So far, your side of politics has said they wouldn't engage with that. But are there any circumstances under which you could see the coalition being a part of that group of the willing?
Look, we've made very clear our view that the Prime Minister has got this wrong. And let's think about what the Prime Minister is proposing here. Peacekeepers, by definition, are stationed close to the front line, close to the former front line of a frozen conflict. Now, here, the conflict obviously is in Ukraine. Europe has about 500 million people upon whom to draw for the purpose of providing peacekeepers. And the counterparty is Vladimir Putin. So we think the notion of putting Australian troops close to that former front line, effectively relying on undertakings from Vladimir Putin, is absolutely the wrong thing to do and not in Australia's interests. Those troops would be well within the range of Russian drones, of Russian missiles, probably of Russian artillery. We think the Prime Minister, in seeking some sort of superficial headline, has got this very wrong indeed.
Do you think that Ukraine does need to essentially look at where things are now and recognise that Crimea becomes a part of Russia?
Look, there is no peace which is acceptable, which is not acceptable to Ukraine. Peace without sovereignty is no peace at all. Peace without security is no peace at all. Ukraine has fought valiantly and heroically against a brutal tyrant who has instituted a brutal invasion. No peace is acceptable, which is not acceptable to Ukraine. And Ukraine has every right to stand up for what it believes are important to its values and to its nation.
At this stage, have you had any response from the government to your request for that briefing in relation to Indonesia and Russia's reported plans to base the military aircraft there?
We've had no response to our request for a briefing, and that's in contrast to the fact that Richard Marles said a week or so ago, there's no issue with providing a briefing. That's what he said. And then he came out with this absurd technical reason why a briefing should not be provided. And look, I think we all know what's going on here. The government doesn't want to provide a briefing, clearly. Now, the obvious question is, why? Why wouldn't they want to provide a briefing? And the obvious reason is they're concerned that that briefing will be embarrassing. Maybe they were not aware of these apparent Russian overtures to Indonesia. Maybe they were aware but didn't do anything about it. But either way, of course the briefing should be provided, and the government hasn't got a leg to stand on in refusing it. The coalition, during the course of the last election campaign, provided a briefing, as requested by the opposition at the time, in relation to a vessel. But the government won't do it because they've obviously got something to hide, and I think that's very transparent for all to see.
Well, I think their argument is that there is no Australian policy change to brief on as per caretaker conventions. Isn't that fair enough?
Well, let me just address that. So in the last election, there was a vessel that was off the coast of Australia. The opposition requested a briefing. That briefing was provided. Now, that issue did not require decision of the Australian government. But as an act of good faith of doing the right thing on matters of national security, we provided the briefing. Now, it is obviously within the remit of the government to provide the briefing. Appropriate practice in relation to national security matters is to do so, but they don't want to. So they can hide behind any technical construction they want, but I think we all know why they're not providing the briefing, and that's because the briefing would be embarrassing for them, because they have something to hide. And, you know, you don't need to be a PhD in international relations to work out that if the government didn't have anything to hide, they'd be quite comfortable providing this briefing, but they obviously do, so they won't provide it.
The polls do suggest that support for the coalition is flagging at a critical point in the lead up to the election. How much do you think the comparisons to Donald Trump and some of the policies, which are quite similar, have hurt the coalition's chances?
Well, look, we always pursue our own policies, and our policy agenda is very strong. It is an Australian agenda, and it's in incredible contrast to what we've seen from the government. I mean, the management of the Australian economy over the last 3 years has been abysmal. The OECD says Australia has had the biggest drop in living standards of anywhere in the developed world. And that's not me saying it, that's the OECD. And what Mr. Albanese is saying is, give me another 3 years. And to re-elect Mr. Albanese would kind of be like hiring the arsonist to put out the fire. The call by Mr. Albanese to be re-elected is ridiculous. It has been a terrible government. The facts are very clear, and that's why it's so important that we make a change on the 3rd of May.
But has Donald Trump's tariff war hurt the coalition?
We obviously very strongly disagree with tariffs. I mean, we've known since 1930 that tariffs were a bad idea. Tariffs contributed to the Great Depression. Tariffs make things more expensive. and they make it harder for businesses to invest. That's why the coalition is so pro-free trade. We completed 11 free trade agreements when last in office. The government has completed one. We did the free trade agreement with China, one of the biggest free trade agreements on earth. And we saw trade with China and exports to China grow by more than $100 billion in 6 years. So we are very strong on free trade. It's in our DNA. And obviously we're very opposed to efforts to put up trade barriers.
Just finally, David Coleman, should Peter Dutton have put himself forward with more policies and more press conferences with the Canberra Press Gallery ahead of the election campaign to show that he was match fit? It does seem in the campaign process there have been a lot of missteps, mistakes and acknowledgements of misspeaking. Is this a sign that Peter Dutton should have done more of this work ahead of the campaign period?
Oh, look, obviously I don't agree with that characterisation at all. I mean, we've been putting out very strong policies in terms of the East Coast gas reservation to get the cost of gas and other forms of electricity and so on down. A very strong commitment in relation to defence. Our defence lack of investment under Labor has been shocking. We live in very uncertain strategic times. We do need to significantly increase investment in defence, and we need to support small business through things like making the instant asset write-off permanent. So it's a very strong case, it's a very compelling case, and it's a case that we're asking Australians to support on the 3rd of May.
Well, David Coleman, we really appreciate your time. We look forward to chatting to you again in the lead-up to the election. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Anna.